Making Sense of EU.
Welcome to Making Sense of EU, a podcast where scientific research sheds light on the pressing issues of EU affairs. Making Sense of EU is brought to you by the Institut d'études européennes of the Université Libre de Bruxelles. This series on the challenges liberal democracy is facing in the European Union is a product of the Horizon Europe research project Red Spinel, and it's co-funded by the European Union. My name is Frederick Poniard, and I am your host. In the fifth episode of this season of Making Sense of EU, we have the privilege of welcoming two principal investigators of Horizon Europe-funded project dedicated to exploring the state of liberal democracy across Europe. Our guests are Ramon Ackermann, professor at the Université Libre de Bruxelles and principal investigator of the Red Spinel project, and Zolte Enyedi, professor at the Central European University and principal investigator of the Haute-Libre project. Over the course of the episode, we hope to, on the one hand, delve deeper into what such large EU-funded collective research projects might entail, and on the other, explore some of the initial findings of both projects and what they might imply in the run-up to the 2024 European elections. We're thrilled to welcome two leading academics. Zolte Enyedi, who leads the Haute-Libre project, is professor at the Department of Political Science of the Central European University. He studied comparative social sciences, history, sociology, and political science in Budapest and Amsterdam. His research focuses on party politics, comparative government, church and state relations, and political psychology. Ramon Ackermann, who leads the Red Spinel project, is professor of political science at the Université Libre de Bruxelles and visiting professor at the College of Europe in Bruges. She is also a former director and president of the Institut d'études européennes, and she studied political science, comparative politics, and European studies in Brussels. Her research interests include EU institutions, EU decision-making processes, the rule of law, democratic transition, and comparative politics. Welcome to Making Sense of EU to both. Maybe as a first introduction, can I ask both speakers, one after the other, to introduce themselves and maybe explain why they were interested, intrigued, or decided to go for the funding and the projects they helped set up?
The motivation behind the project Red Spinel that I have the pleasure to coordinate at the Université Libre de Bruxelles comes from both personal and institutional reasons. I would say for me, this project represents the continuation of my previous research agenda on Europeanization and judicial reforms in Central and Eastern Europe in the context of the EU accession. And it is a way to study this in a new political context. So what is also important when we coordinate projects like Haute-Libre or Red Spinel is that we have the opportunity to bring together colleagues from different disciplines, but also from different universities. And this network approach, I think it is the added value of having and coordinating such project.
The story is very similar in my case. That is, I have been working on the topic of illiberalism already for a couple of years. I think it's quite natural, unfortunately, for a Hungarian to be interested in illiberalism. There is quite a lot of research that is conducted by my colleagues, both in Hungary and at the EU. There was one specific trigger for me, and this was that I co-authored the paper with Stephen Whitefield from the University of Oxford on the illiberal conception of political representation. And we were not entirely content with the result of that paper. We thought that there is more to research here, and we need empirical research in order to elaborate this concept more fully.
Any theoretical innovations or empirical ambitions that prompted the Red Spinel project initially?
Yeah, so I was mentioning my previous research, which was on Europeanization and the promotion of liberal democracy in Central and Eastern Europe. And I have to say that I have Romanian origins. So now we started this process that I would call de-Europeanization and trends to autocratization. So the project, it is about contestation of liberal democracy, which is not a new phenomenon. It is an old phenomenon. But we are trying to capture what we conceptualize as a form of dissensus of liberal democracy, that we define as the expression of social, political, and legal conflicts driven by political but also social legal actors and also state and non-state actors. And we argue that these conflicts take place in different institutional and non-institutional arenas. And here we see a competition between different actors seeking to maintain liberal democracy, to replace liberal democracy, or to restructure liberal democracy. So this is how we understand dissensus in this project. And I think it is important to study it in the context of the European Union. The European Union is based on consensus. The decision-making process in the European Union is based on consensus. Of course, we know from the theories of democracy that dissensus is very important, that dissensus is the essence of democracy. But in our view, in this context, we should study consensus and dissensus together. So with Red Spinel, we try to capture the nature of the current dissensus over liberal democracy. This is an empirical focus of the project, to try to understand the nature of the current dissensus over liberal democracy and to see how disruptive it is to the European Union, and also to go a bit beyond that, so to see how have EU institutional actors and instruments contributed or responded to this increased dissensus, but also what are the implications of dissensus for policy instruments at the EU level and in EU member states. So empirical focus to capture the meaning of dissensus and then to see its implications for policies, internal policies of the European Union and external policies of the European Union.
Just as for Red Spinel, for Outlib, the context is given by democratic backsliding, de-democratization, and we are also wondering about the sources of the, call it illiberal, challenge to current liberal democratic structures. But we are also interested very specifically in how this challenge appears in the form of ideologies. So what are the ideologies exactly? What are the narratives that are constructed by those who challenge liberal democracy? And here our intuition was that there are many. There is not one way to question the validity of the liberal democratic offer, but many. In order to dig deeper into the varieties of neo-authoritarianisms or illiberalisms, we decided to do both survey research, textual analysis, to do survey experiments, expert studies, to look at public policies, to do laboratory experiments, and also to go deeper into the question how various illiberal actors cooperate with each other. We try to put all this into a historical perspective to make sense of the dynamics of development across various nation states that we are most focusing on within the European Union. And so far, what we have found is that there has been some degree of convergence across nation states because we are all part of the same media framework. There is more and more exchange, more and more conversation going on both sides of the aisle. But what we are most interested in is the illiberal side. So what we are trying to see how there the various demands and aspirations converge.
Professor Koman, if we hear that in Outlib we look at the conceptual and ideological substrate of, let's say, the illiberal side of the equation, Red Spinel also looks at the instruments that are deployed by the other side, by the liberal side, if I may simplify. What are the initial findings at this stage? Which instruments, or how has the dissensus provoked a response?
There are complementarities because in Outlib is focused mainly on political parties, also on civil society and other actors. This is very, very important also for Red Spinel to understand the claims and the goals of those actors. Red Spinel, the difference is that it's also to have a look at dissatisfaction with liberal democracy. It is also a project which seeks to bring some theoretical innovation. So as Professor Enyed said before, it's also for us to see if dissensus is needed, because we don't want to add concepts just for the sake of, you know, adding new concepts. We also try the potential of dissensus in comparison with other concepts, like, for example, contestation or opposition, just to mention two examples.
How do you see the short-term cycle of politics and the long-term cycles of research interact? How do you see electoral politics, and especially the upcoming European elections, intersect with the research agenda?
We have studied debates in the European Parliament since the beginning of the 2000s and how political groups and members of the European Parliament vote, but also what they say when discussions about the rule of law are discussed. So we have seen a lot of diversity in the preferences of the political groups, and also we have seen some trends, for example, coming from radical right parties, but also some what we can call a contagion phenomenon in the EPP. So this has been studied. Now, what we also see with a focus on the European Parliament is that it's true, the number of radical right parties, populist parties has increased, but they don't have the power, I would say, based also on research conducted by other scholars, they don't have the power to shape the political agenda of the European Union. Yet they have the power to introduce in the plenary sessions of the European Parliament new ideas about liberal democracy, the rule of law, which are also emulated by other political groups. We know that the European Parliament is an important actor, but yet there are other institutions which play a crucial role, and this is the Council. So for me, the results of European / national elections is also important, but with an eye on the role of those parties in the Council.
Well, elections definitely politicize discourse in any society and make, to some extent, the stakes more clear, and therefore a great time to analyze and to identify alternatives. In our case, the survey is planned to happen right after the European parliamentary elections. This is not because we are particularly interested in EP elections, but because that creates a similarity across the context, except one in the UK, although probably even the Brits will watch what is happening on the continent. Elections are also important from a different perspective. Our cases differ a lot in their degree of illiberalism. Whenever you study a dynamic process and you try to speculate about whether you can speak about a crisis of democracy or not, and whether authoritarian systems are able to consolidate or not, there you have to know what is the end of the story. And obviously we will never see the ultimate end, but in case of Hungary, we have seen four consecutive elections that ended with the very same result, basically.
As a final question, maybe looking forward in both projects, what kind of outcomes, products are foreseen in the coming months?
There are three types of outcomes expected from RedSpinel. One is, of course, theoretical innovation. So the aim is still to define the normative contours of dissensus, to develop a typology of forms of dissensus. This is the theoretical ambition. And then the empirical ambition is to map the actors of dissensus, both political, social, and legal, and also the networks of dissensus, so bringing political parties, but also social, civil society organizations. So this is the empirical aim, to trace those networks, to see the coalitions of actors and also types of discourses about liberal democracy. And then next step is to see the implications for the policies of the European Union, internal and external, as I was mentioning before. So, for example, it's the external policy of the European Union, the neighborhood, but also the socioeconomic policy of the EU is included in our project. So all of this will be presented in a series of books, of course, and a series of articles and special issues in specific journals. We also attend a number of conferences. This is also very, very important in European studies, but not only, also in political science, several conferences. And then last but not least, we are also expected to produce a set of policy recommendations for EU institutions, and not only, because this is also a normative debate. This is an important normative debate on liberal democracy and the future of liberal democracy. So that would be policy recommendations would be for the next year of the project. And just to finish on the synergies between RedSpinel and OTLIB is that we have a project on actors of dissensus, in which part of the members of our project will work on political parties and civil society at the national level, but also at the European level. And Zsolt will write a paper about the role of intellectuals, but probably he will say more in a second. So this is the first attempt to bring the two projects together in a publication project.
indeed, if I may continue here, we are planning with Benjamin Stanley to write a paper on how illiberal intellectuals, not only in Europe but across the globe, have articulated recently innovative ideas, how they question the liberal democratic narrative. As far as the next deliverables are concerned, there are two specific ones that I'm looking forward to see. One will summarize our findings on the question of how illiberals behave in power. So what happens when they get to power, how they change the way the governments function, to what extent they are able to translate their values and ideas into actual policies. The second deliverable is a methodological one. As I mentioned, we work with digital texts. We try to use these newest methodological tools to study the way the degree of illiberalism is changing across years and the types of illiberalism, how they relate to each other, to what extent we can speak in different national contexts about different types of illiberalism. And here the question is whether the existing tools, particularly of automated text analysis, are capable of profiling ideological discourses in a way that is meaningful both for the public and for political scientists. So I'm looking forward to see this methodological piece coming out soon.
Thank you very much. That's a lot to look forward to. I hear new typologies, methodological instruments being checked. I hear joint publications. I hear books. I hear special issues. I hear conferences. So I'm sure there will be more opportunities to talk with each other about each other in the coming 2 years. Thank you again to both speakers, Professor Coman and Professor Nyedi, and much luck to both Project Redspinel and Utlip.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Making Sense of EU.